been hearing from Nick Jones this afternoon. Nick lives in Wheatley and recently returned from Ghana, where he's been involved in a project coaching children in the sport of rugby. This was something that you were able to undertake because you serve in the army. You'd done two tours, Iraq and Afghanistan, and so you were entitled to extended leave this year. So it gave you this window of opportunity. But what was it that actually inspired you to pinpoint Ghana and the kids there to work with?
Well, I guess, first question, why kids? I guess probably the inspiration started with my daughter. She's training to be a teacher now, a PE teacher, and she's absolutely fantastic with kids. And during her summer breaks, she used to take kids' camps, and just the look of smiles on kids' faces, kids having a blast, I thought, you know, that's something I'd like to get involved in. Then when I was in Iraq, I was lucky enough to be involved in some projects, rebuilding schools and that sort of thing. And again, seeing kids who've got almost nothing, you give them a pen and see their face light up. That was a real inspiration for me. So knowing that I'd got a fair amount of time off, voluntary work, something I'd wanted to do for a while, and certainly it was being involved with kids. So I first saw Ghana and working in an orphanage, and that quite appealed. And then when I saw the link to Ghana and rugby with projects abroad, that was it, done deal. It was sort of press send and book it up, which was done in sort of a couple of hours. So I was able to go for a month, which was quite a nice period of time. And what I did was spent my mornings working in the orphanage, and then in the afternoons, I'd go into schools with George and we would teach schools children how to play rugby. And then during the trip, we decided one way of really ramping it up was actually, rather than us going to schools to teach it, we'd teach the PE teachers how to teach rugby. So I learned to coach a couple of years ago, and I've been refereeing the game since I had to hang up my boots in playing days. So what we did was we spoke to the local regional sports council and asked if we could get some time with PE teachers. George, great guy. He's a real enthusiast. And the way that we got this through in sort of short order was he announced me to the regional sports council as a professional sort of international rugby coach come over from UK to take Ghana to the international stage. Well, one of those sort of situations where you sort of try and hide the surprise, bite the lip and just go with the flow. And certainly doors were opened. The chairman of the Regional Sports Council picked up the phone to the Regional Director of Education, Physical Education, on the spot and said, we have an important man from UK here going to take rugby to the next level. Your presence is demanded. And I was quite shocked at that sort of choice of phrase. But sure enough, 5 minutes later, this regional director of PE education was in the office, and he said, what do you need? And I said, well, I need to run courses for PE teachers. And he said, how many do you need? And I said, 20. And he said, OK, well, of course, there are procedures and processes to go through and we can arrange this. And I said, great, as long as we can start next Tuesday. And he looked at the chairman. The chairman sort of gave him a look that said, make it so. And so it was made so. So it was a simple matter then of trying to write a course, get a venue. The sports council were good enough to give us the venue for the course, get some rugby balls, because we wanted to be able to give these people the skills and the confidence to teach rugby, and then give them a rugby ball to go away with so they could literally start teaching rugby in their school the next day. So I rang up Projects Abroad and said, hey, we're going to do this. Can you get me some balls? And bless their hearts, they bought a load of balls in Accra. So by the next Tuesday sharp, we were ready to start training PE teachers and how to coach rugby. And the way we did it was to teach them how to play rugby during the day, get to the stage where they were actually playing a match themselves. And we said, hey, look, if we can teach you in half a day how to play rugby, you can teach your kids. So that was great fun, and a way of really ramping up the sports. It would go into another 20 or 30 schools over the next few months, hopefully.
And this is bringing the sport to a new audience. It's sort of even beyond grassroots level, isn't it? Because there are no facilities, no equipment, absolutely no idea of the sport.
Absolutely. I mean, as you can imagine, I was in Ghana at World Cup football time, and I've managed to say the word without choking on myself. you know, like many countries, that game is sort of there. And it was a wild time in Ghana watching people. You couldn't help but be caught up in their enthusiasm. And I'm an avid Ghana football supporter now. I wouldn't support England, bunch of prima donnas. But no idea of team spirit. But hey,
that's a whole different debate.
A whole different debate. But it was great because you're right. There are no rugby pitches. They don't have boots. They don't have kit. But the great thing is these kids, they're all athletes. They get up at 4 a.m, they do their chores around the home. I've experienced a bit of that. The tap in my house didn't work for a while, so I know what it's like to get up and sort of go and get water from the well and so on. But these kids do it day in, day out. They then go to school, they then go into the market carrying bowls on their heads with water sachets, selling water sachets. So they're very physically strong, they're very fit, and they've got natural ball skills. So you just give them a rugby ball, instinctively they start throwing it together. So we had matches on scrubland, we had matches on the beach. That was great fun because you can just dive in the sea when you get too hot. But it was, you're right, it's grassroots, but hopefully what we're now doing is training the next generation, and what we're doing is setting up a club in each school. So that as the kids get older, they will then teach the next generation of kids as well. So we didn't just want to go in, teach a few kids some rugby, come away, and 6 months later it had gone. What we're trying to do is sort of sow the seeds so this thing can really grow in the future. And, you know, I think we got there.
On a personal level as well, it was a great experience for you, I suppose, living amongst the community. You mentioned the almost sort of blessing of mixed identity that you received when trying to get this programme into action. But there was another sort of misinterpretation as well, where you found yourself inadvertently conducting a sermon.
Yeah, that was, yeah, the Fanti is the sort of local language. And one morning at worship in the orphanage, one of the children asked me what I did, and I said I was a soldier. Now, Fanti for preacher is Sofu, and the kid, little, it was Ebenezer actually, 4-year-old, really sweet guy. He went around telling everybody I was a preacher. And by the time I was trying to put them right, they decided I was going to be preaching the sermon next Wednesday. And again, they're just such enthusiasms. You can't let them down, you know. They want you to do a sermon. And fortunately, one of the prayers that the orphanage used is one that talks about being a soldier in the army of the Lord. So that gave me quite a nice sort of segue, and it was fairly easy to sort of knock something together.
What have you come away with from this experience?
Oh, gosh. Certainly a renewed sense of purpose of where my life will lead, hopefully, in the future. I thought that the sort of voluntary work was something I'd like to go into, and this trip has definitely confirmed it. Equally, I firmly believe that a lot of the problems that are around the world are going to be solved by the next generation, not our generation. And working with children is the way to do that, and that's something that I felt is great. And just seeing the kids enthused, and through, I think in the community, through the enthusiasm the kids had, suddenly their parents were sort of seeing me and seeing me as somebody who was contributing to life. And you can, you know, you change the mindset of a child. It's fairly easy to do. And then suddenly the adults go along with them. So apart from really treasured memories, some good friends, and I'll definitely go back. So many things I learned about how to, I think, really set your own expectations when you go on these sort of things. You know, we all want to sort of change the world. Well, you don't do it in a month. And I think you realise that doing things that to you seem quite simple and quite humble, actually you can make a fairly big difference to people's lives. And so if you set your own expectations accordingly, work with the sort of local infrastructure, just understand that things aren't going to sort of happen the way they do in this country. And you know, and thank God they don't. You know, when I came back from Iraq, one of my Arabic tutors said to me, do you think the Iraqis are learning from the Western world? And I said, oh, I hope to God they don't, but I hope we're learning from them. And so it's been very much a two-way thing. I like to think I sort of gave a bit to Ghana, but there's no question I got back in spades what I put in. It's been an enriching experience. Just to see kids smiling every day. I mean, I remember one day in the orphanage, Ghana were playing that night, and I was teaching in a kindergarten class, and I took in some face paint. So they painted my face in the Ghana colours, and that was just a blast, a bunch of kids painting me all over the face and all the smiles. So I think a lot of love I've taken away. Really well-meaning people there. Worked with some great people in projects abroad, other volunteers doing really good stuff. And it's fantastic. And I was probably the oldest volunteer by a long way. You know, the next youngest was probably in her late 20s. And people do down the sort of younger generation a bit, but it's tosh, really. There are some really good people. making some great contributions around the world, and we should sort of celebrate it rather than sort of knock the youth, because that's our future. When, you know, when I'm too old to bloody buy myself a beer, it's the next generation that are going to buy me one as I'm dribbling on the floor. So, you know, let's invest in them as much as we can now.
And if you can do it whilst watching a game of rugby, all the better.
Hey, absolutely.
Nick, an absolute pleasure meeting you today. Thank you very much for joining us. And as you were saying, you've got full plans to go back, so we would love to keep in touch with you and find out how the project's going. I'm sure those kids will have grown by the next time you see them. They'll be ready to take you on. Nick Jones talking to us this afternoon, training the next generation of rugby players in Ghana.